Well, tonight let's talk literature and literacy. The Chicago After School Arts and Humanities Program, Cool Classics, just received the 2017 National Arts and Humanities Youth Program Award, the highest honor bestowed upon the after school programs, just like this one. Cool Classics is a simple concept, bringing literature and arts and culture to Chicago schools. Simple, but the overall concept is one that we can all understand. The more literature and the ideas presented by said literature that a student is exposed to, the more likely they're better to understand the world around us or be able to make better decisions or even do better in school. And you could say, well, isn't that what school is for? But in most cases, due to budget cutbacks and more politically correct commercial culture, what's being offered to students leaves much to be desired. Cool Classics is the brainchild of teacher and award-winning journalist Mara Tapp. Tapp is a familiar name to Chicago radio listeners. She hosted the Mara Tapp Show on public radio. She also has shows about literature and ideas for WYCC, WFMT. She taught at Columbia College, School of the Art Institute. And we used to work together. Mara Tapp, welcome to The Download. Good to see you.
You too.
It's been a long time.
Long time. We were all younger then.
Mary, one of our great listeners, texted in. She said, oh, I love Mara Tapp. I'm so, oh my God, what a great time. She was best show ever. And you had a show on public radio here in Chicago for a decade in the 90s. And a little mop-haired kid named Justin sat behind the show and watched you guys work.
Radio hair in those days, right?
Well, it's great to see you. And you know, Cool Classes, congratulations on the award. Talk about the last we worked together, you were a journalist, you're a talk show host, you were working, I knew you were working on a freelance project. What took you down the path of Cool Classics?
Accident. Happenstance, serendipity, all that good stuff. So when I left WBEZ, I actually went to Racine, Wisconsin to try and restart a show called Conversations from Wingspread, which John Calloway, the amazing late great, had hosted, won a Peabody for. And, you know, we did that for a while and happy with a syndication offer offered by FMT, but the boss wasn't happy. So we said, okay, fine, we're going to come back to Chicago now. And I had one day a week free. I am the very proud parent of two very proud Chicago Public School graduates. My daughters loved CPS. And I thought, well, you know, my daughters are teenagers. You aren't there yet, but you will be. It would be really nice to be with some small children. So I thought a couple friends of mine subbed in Chicago Public Schools. I decided to give it a try. Loved it. Went to the school they started at, a great school, Walt Disney Magnet School, and discovered that in the 10 years since they'd been in elementary school, so much had left, even at a wonderful school like that.
Really?
So, because the press was on, the fill-in-the-bubble mentality, the drill and kill, there are all kinds of nicknames for it. And although they were in much better shape there, they weren't reading the classic books, either because the new younger teachers hadn't been taught them, or they weren't in the textbooks, you said politically correct, whatever.
Right.
Left knocks right out, and pretty soon you got the back
of
the cereal box.
It's so true. I mean, there's almost like you can go Google what books are ready for fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders. But what you're talking about is exposing kids to literature that aren't on those lists. And we're not talking about expansive, controversial topics. You're talking about great stories that really give this idea, these morals, these fables, things that are going to make people understand the
with
world
moral
around.
Complexity,
right?
Okay, and putting a modern read on them, fine. I'm laughing because we're doing the story of Ferdinand at the school we've been at the longest, and I asked for a plot summary today. We're about 3 or 4 weeks.
So you asked the kids,
yeah, and they're first through third here. And one of my ambassadors, we call children who return to us ambassadors because they're part of the country that we build. And asked for a plot summary. He said, "Well, you know, Ferdinand wasn't very active." He sat around all the time smelling the flowers. So he got stung by the bee. And I'm thinking, well, there's a new one on Ferdinand. But you got to love it. Not active.
Yeah, I mean, but there's probably, I would say, for first and third graders, or even myself or people I know or my family. I mean, there's a certain level where you don't ever get exposed to these books unless you go try it yourself. And it's very difficult to do because, like I said, there's so much at the school level that's being offered.
And the teachers are under such pressure.
Right.
And this program is meant in no way to diss teachers because I am a huge admirer of teachers. It is as hard to run a classroom of 20 to 30 children as it is to run a radio show. And in fact, the skills are quite similar, I discovered. Yes, because you're all about keeping it moving, control, next question, what are we doing? Did he earn the smart pin? Nope, give it to her, you know, whatever. But anyway, I started subbing one day a week, and pretty soon the Disney principal said, oh, I really need you here every day. And I said, nope, sorry, no. But I started to bring in books that had been mine, my daughter's, my father's. My mother only had two books, so I brought those in too. And I discovered the children loved them. And I started to bring in what I call classic books. So Ferdinand is a better known one, but everybody knows Shrek. The worst book by William Steig ever. So we do The Amazing Bone, which is about the power of language, imagination, and friendship. And it rocks, you know? You got a bone that talks, does magical spells, and is smart and can make noises, and the kids love it. So what I started doing was coming up with these on-the-spot ideas. And then I ran into a man who was a former student of my husband's, was working for Kellogg as a program director, and he asked me my opinion about CPS. And I was responded that way. And then he asked me what I would do to fix it. And we sat down at a Formica table at a Korean restaurant and began Cool Classics. Piloted it. They were very generous in their grant. And they said, now, good, you have a year. We're buying your brain. Make it fly. And so we have been going along ever since. Now, I will tell you, when I started it, you know, there's a wall in journalism, as you know.
Right.
We don't talk to funders, right?
Right.
So I didn't really know any. But I had two who were sources of mine. And they both said, you're nuts. And I said, why? They said, this is the worst possible time in the world to start something like this. And I said, is there a need? And they said, yes. I said, well, then, I worked for public radio for 20 years. You know, I'm certifiable. So off we went. And then there were the closings. And then there were the changes in the bus schedules and the longer school day. And we have really been buffeted by the politics of this country right now, in this time we're in, this city, the state, and our attitudes towards education. But here's the amazing part. What I discovered, for me, it was confirmation of what I knew, that my children are as natively brilliant as anywhere. What they lack are the resources, and what they face are more obstacles. So our job, resources, take away the obstacles.
You know, I always wonder, because you know, there's not only this push for under resources, but there's also this pushback against a culture, and this idea that, you know, well, we don't need Ferdinand. We you know what, this is, I hate this. I hate that you're putting this down. They're shoving this down our throats. We just want we want to watch our Monday Night Football, whatever it is, right? But do you know? I mean, do you notice that? Do you notice like a push and pull when it comes to the culture of
classics?
But
not with our children, because
they don't know anything else.
No, right. That's not why. Because I grab them at age of reading, and that varies because we understand that we don't really have equal resources in all our schools. So at one school, it might be K. At one school, it might be first. We go K through 3, and we let the schools pick our students, and we want diversity. It's Chicago, so we usually can't do that racially and ethnically, but we can do it in terms of gender, grade, and ability. Mm-hmm. So we bring in children, and we want to teach them, first of all, to love books. Secondly, to love ideas and to be able to think. And we do that in a number of ways. Last year, at the end of the year, one of my students raised their hand. We listen a lot to students. I love to talk a lot, but I love to listen even more. So one of our students raised his hand and said, why are we in Cool Classics? I said, I love that question. That is a great question. Why don't you tell me what you think the answer is? And he said, because we have so much fun. I'm like, I love that answer. Now do you want me to tell you why I think you're here? And they're like, yeah. I said, okay. So we want you to be able to think really deeply about everything, ideas, art. We want you to be able to know all about all the arts because we bring those in. So we do music. We do everything from Steve Martin's King Tut with one book to Mozart with another. So we're all over the place. We want you to know visual arts. Picasso. Today we looked at Picasso's bulls, all different ones he painted. We want you to know dance. We learn a little bit of East Indian dance about it. Not to, we do everything. So I said, I want you to know all the arts so that you can. And we do a lot of call and recall so they answer back. Because by the end of the day, they know, go out and make the world a better place. I'm like, that's right. Sometimes I ask them, could you grow up a little faster, please?
Mara Tapp, my guest, she is the founder and creator of Cool Classics, which is an after-school arts and humanities program, which just received one of the 2017 National Arts and Humanities Youth Program Awards, the highest honor. You know, and did you think, I know you and I've known you and I haven't seen you in so long, and it's such a pleasure to hear your voice, and it's a pleasure to catch up with you. But did, now that you've been doing this and you get the award and you're moving in a direction where you're actually having this impact on children's lives, is this your calling? I mean, is this where you're going? Because at the time you talked about saying, I just want to get closer to, you know, I want to sub once in a while. I mean, have you completely made the transition?
Yes.
This is what you do?
I mean, I'm the 14-hour days I used to do at BEZ, I now do for Cool Classics. But I want to circle back to that to the high culture,
yeah,
intellectual thing, because here's what I'm finding, and Cool Classics has been surprising. I started out with one book, and now we have six different curricula, and we build this world of art around it. But here's a great example of how children who think they don't like classical music do. So with one book, it's by Don Freeman, who did Corduroy. Everybody knows Corduroy. Sweet story, simple story. Too simple for me. We don't do that one. So we do two others that are more complex. So for the one that involves the magic flute, we look at all these different versions of it. We analyze them using the three pieces that are referenced in the book, which are very famous. There's the Queen of the Night aria. We don't sing because I tell them, you're not trained to sing opera. We'll follow it with our fingers. We really want children to hear music, to learn how to listen to it. We tell them we have a music listening position. Let the music tell your body how it should move. So we do Queen of the Night. We learned, amazingly, that Mozart is an excellent artist to teach nonviolence. Who would have guessed? So we're in
really?
One school. Yeah, I mean, this one surprised the bejiggers out of me. We're in one school, very tough neighborhood. It was the year Janila Watkins was killed, the baby, right after Hadia Pendleton.
Right.
Her parents had gone to that school. Her cousins were there. Our performance was the day after that baby was shot. We didn't know she was dead yet. The police had showed up that morning, code of silence, down to kindergarten. We come in for our performance, and our children are following the voice of this fancy soprano up to the roof and jumping, and then when it's over, they all lie down on the floor and say to a packed library, we're dead, we're killed. And I look at my lead teacher like, where did this come from? And we don't know. The next time we come in, I say, you know, she says, well, why did you do that? They said, we wanted you to know we were good actors. So at first I'm beating myself up, and then I realize, no, this is good, because these children had a place they could come to talk about and express their anger, their fear, their despair. And later that day, we had a couple of fourth graders. Technically, we take third graders, but it just so happens sometimes they won't go away at the end of the program. They're doing an art project, and I walk by the table, and one says to the other, so what would happen if a bullet went through your body at 40 miles an hour? And I'm like, excuse me, I think we're doing an art project here. What's going on? And I realize at that time, lots of rumors are swirling around about the father. There's all kinds of ugly stuff in the paper, and I know they're hearing it. And I say, you know, I know that you all are hearing a lot right now on the street and the news, and we don't know how it's going to sort out. We just don't know. It's too early. But here is one thing that I do know, and this is the most important thing. No baby deserves to die, ever. So that's what you need to hold on to. So we found it fabulous. You know, we've had children, when the queen hands the knife to her daughter and says, go kill someone, we stop the film. We say to our children, is that the right thing?
Right.
And they're like, no. Or occasionally.
But just having the opportunity in any school setting, especially schools that are under-resourced, to have those conversations. Because I would assume that under-resourced also means, you know, not being able to fully comprehend the world that's happening around them.
Not having a library, having no books in a library, not having a music teacher, not having an art teacher. One of my colleagues said to me once, there are days I just put my head down on the desk and cry. I said, you know what, we all have those days, but keep me on speed dial. Next time it happens, call me, we'll cry together. The reality is the resilience of my children through all of this. So they come up with stuff. Like one child, we take Mozart on our field trips with us. We go on field trips. We have a lending library. We do all kinds of stuff. But we take him on field trips because we perform these elements and we do a final performance. And so one day, one of our assistant principals is along, and he knew what we were doing. But he's like, why does Ms. Tapp make her hands go like this? What is all that about? And he says, and he's a very challenging third grader. He says, well, this is Papageno, and this is Papagena, and he's a foolish bird catcher. She's his yuck girlfriend. Really disgusting. Ms. Tapp makes us make them kiss at the end, which is revolting. And he goes, but I really can't get that song out of my head. I'm like, score!
Score! You know, score for Mara. That's great.
So... but the fact is that they love it because, you know what? It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And we're not saying only listen to Mozart. Like tonight on the drive down, I'm like, I really could use some Mozart. No, it was Dvorak. Bing, let's go to Motown. Bing, not good. Let's go to gospel. You want to be able to experience it all in its totality. We want these children to feel like they own this world.
Mara Tapp, the founder, creator of Cool Classics, the after-school arts and humanities program, just got one of the 2017 National Arts and Humanities Youth Program Award, and continues to do work in Chicago schools. Former talk show host, continued journalist. I mean, this is your byline once in a while, right?
I do, and I'm actually going to do an interview for the American Writers Museum that I'm really excited about, with the grandchildren of Madeleine L'Engle, A Wrinkle in Time, who have written a biography. So, yeah, the reality is this work is so rewarding. It's exhausting. It's infuriating sometimes, but it's so rewarding when you see a child light up and they make you laugh. And when you see a child learn, that's like, whoa, wow, that was astonishing.
Pleasure, Mara Tapp. Always a pleasure to see you. Let's not make it 20 years or whatever it's been since last time we saw each other.
Too long.
Thanks for being here.